You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We've been doing these anniversary shows for the last several years. We didn't do it originally until a few years into our run, and after a few years, we started doing it every year. This has been one of the most enjoyable for me. I don't know why, but it really has. Now, Keith Alexander, I had lunch with Keith a couple of days ago, and he let it be known to me that he was going to be out of town. He's in Mississippi tonight, and that I know the kind of cell phone Keith has. He knows the kind of cell phone he has, and that reception may be a problem. Well, this was the segment that Keith was to call in, and I said, we're going to try to call you at 8 o'clock Central, the top of the third hour, and I got a cold tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. If we get you, we get you. If not, you can share your favorite moments and all that good stuff. Everything we're doing tonight, Keith will do next week because we're still not able to raise him, and he knew to call in, and so he wanted to be a part of it. He told me if we weren't able to connect, to send his regards to the audience and pass along his love for you. And everybody knows Keith is here every week. He is a stalwart if there ever was one. And so next week, when we get back to the regular fair, we will give Keith a little bit of time to talk about his favorite memories and moments and how he came to know the show and came to be a co-host. Everything we're doing with everyone else, we'll do with Keith next week. But we're getting a lot of emails tonight. How about this one, Eddie? From your friend Kim in Missouri. Now, you know Kim?
Know Kim all too well.
Listening to the show, and I just said, oh, good, Eddie's on. Eddie makes the show so fun, James. He's like that relative you want to talk to at the family reunion. Happy anniversary, Kim. Did you ever think you'd have fans, Eddie?
Never did think I'd have fans like that. Thank you so much, Kim. You're just too kind. I certainly appreciate that. I really do. People like you make it all worth it. They certainly do.
How about this? Got this message in from Bill. James, congrats on number 11. God bless you and yours this evening. I'm listening live right now in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Our listeners, this is a great guy. This is another one of the – I actually know this guy. He was at our 10-year anniversary. I actually saw him up in Washington not long ago.
I remember him all too well.
Great friend of the show, contributes every quarter, and we have a lot of people like that. And then, you know, we played that clip earlier.
His roots in Kentucky, too.
That's right. He sure does, not far from where you were born. We played that clip earlier tonight from Brian in Arkansas. Brian has – written in tonight. Congrats, my friend, for 11 years. How about this? The waves of liberalism breaks upon the rock of paleoconservatism. That rock, brother, is the political cesspool.
Wow.
How about that? Only Brian is a wordsmith, you know, using the hunting analogy to compare us versus Limbaugh and others. Well, I'll tell you, Brian and Bill, who wrote in from Puerto Rico, were both at that 10-year anniversary. There was a zenith to that 10-year anniversary, and that was when we all came together towards the end of that show last year, and we sang a song. I'd like to play that clip for you now.
Everybody needs to be standing up for this. This is the national anthem, and we don't sit for a national anthem. Where's Eddie? Eddie the Bombardier Miller, where are you? Can you hold the flag? Can you get in the center of the room, please? All right, so what I want is I want Maestro to put it in a key we can handle. We're going to start singing. We're going to sing the first verse, the chorus, second verse, war chorus. Just try to follow follow along if you can. Hey, give us a hands up if you can, Maestro, when you're ready for us to start singing, and play it as loud as you can. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away. I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixieland, I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Southern men, the thunders mutter, northern flags and south winds flutter. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Send them back your fierce defiance, stamp upon the cursed alliance. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hooray, hooray. For Dixie's land, we take our stand and live and die for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, two arms in Dixie. And it's the flag of Dixie. Hooray, hooray. For Dixie's land, we take our stand. Live and die for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Swear upon your country's altar never to submit or falter. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Till the spoilers are defeated, till the Lord's work is completed. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hooray, hooray. For Dixie's land, we'll take our stand. Live and die in Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie.
We'll go ahead and clip that off right there. There was a little tail end to that that we were going to play, but I want to get to Matt the Copperhead, who has called in. Matt, you're part of this journey as well. Thank you for being part of the anniversary show last year and then tonight. We only have seconds before the break, but I had to work you in, and I know Eddie wanted to hear from you too. How are you doing tonight, Copperhead?
I'm great, James and Eddie. Happy 11th year to the Political Cesspool family. 11 years.
You know what? Matt, it's been people like you. We've met along the way. We've become brothers. This made the ride worth every bit of the sacrifice we've ever made.
Thank you, Eddie. That means a lot, you know, from you guys. And it's just so good to be back on the Political Cesspool and the home of the true voice of our people.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've said it to the point of exhaustion, but to the extent we are the voice of anything, it's to the extent that our audience leaves us in its good graces. And Copperhead, you have been as generous as anybody ever has, financially and otherwise, to this program, and we appreciate it. And as we celebrate, continue to celebrate with the remaining couple of segments we have this evening, this is a celebration of you as well. And I'm glad we got to talk, if even for a few seconds this evening. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for all you do. And we look forward to seeing you again soon. Matt the Copperhead, everybody.
Or Matt, that's one of a kind.
We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Good sense.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
You hear his voice in every commercial break, leading us in and out of the breaks after each segment. Art Frith, our old producer and friend and engineer, he really taught us how to be better at what we do. He came on early on in our run. He, too, couldn't be here live this evening. Keith Alexander is, of course, having cell phone difficulties. We're going to catch up with Keith next week and let him chime in on all of this. But Art, I talked to Art earlier this week. He wanted to be part of it, but he's working and traveling and couldn't call in. But he said, will you do me a favor? Will you pull the interview that I gave during the ninth year anniversary show, which was year before last, and play that tonight? Because everything I want to say tonight, I said that in that show. So I told Art I would, and here's Art so he can get a little time on the show. Art Frith.
Art Frith, my friend, welcome back. How are you, buddy?
Not bad, but I wish you keep playing the intro because that's the best part of the show.
It's great. You know, that announcer does a damn fine job for us, doesn't he? The announcer,
well,
of course.
You're taking a chance putting me on the show, but, you know, what the heck? I knew you when you still had hair.
That's true. That's true. Art actually has been around so long, since about 2005.
Okay.
He knew me when I still had hair. All of the announcements, all the intros, outros, bumps, those are all from Art. And, you know, Art really added the professionalism to this show. We try to remain professional to the best we can with Art, without Art being our overlord there in the studio. But when we were at 1380, the old studio in Millington, it was us on one side of the glass, Art on the other, and he was kind of the whipcracker. He was the slave driver. He made us kind of get in line, and he wasn't always so easy on yours truly. Art, you more than any other seem to relish in the opportunity to give me a good hazing back in the early days, did you not?
I think your first words were, who in the hell is that guy?
Well, it was rough going from time to time, but when you left WLRM, there was such a void in the production of the show that we actually paid you with our non-existent budget to come back, and you trained me on the board to the best you could. You were actually, you know, Art Frith interviewed, we're basking in the glow of the Gary Sinise interview from last week, but Art Frith interviewed him years ago
And he interviewed many people, like Wolfman Jack and Paul Revere from Paul Revere and the Raiders, and on and on and on and on. Art took pride in the interview we did last week. Eddie, you were part of it with Gary Sinise. That was all part of the fine training we received from the Art Frith School of Broadcasting, correct?
Yeah, right.
Well, Eddie, I know you want to say hello to the chief. You know, we take pride in the fact that our many of our staff, the majority of our staff, not counting myself and Bill Rowland, but the majority of our staff, Keith Alexander, the majority of our staff has served in the armed forces, you and Art and Pete Stanton and Winston. And I know you'd like to say hello to the chief, Art Frith.
Well, hello there, chief. It's been a long time, fella.
Hey, Eddie.
You know, I remember back in the early days, Art, we were working, and one of my favorite things you would do, you talk about how you used to haze old baby boy. When he would leave the studio at night, you know, I don't know if you remember or not, but he was notorious for getting speeding tickets. He collected.
Well, Millington Police Department, he funds their party every year for Christmas. Personally,
you would put out announcements to the Millington Police, say James Edwards leaving the studio now. And you give this route.
Yep.
If you need to get your ticket quota, it'll be a surefire ticket tonight because baby boy be heading that way. I tell you, but yeah, you know, Art, I probably never told you this, but you know. I joined the Marines before I got drafted in the Army, and I had passed all the tests with flying colors to get the Marines, a physical test, a mental test, real high on the achievement test. And I was getting ready to sign into the Marines, Art, and then at the last minute, they stopped me. They wouldn't let me in. You know, they found out my parents were married.
They saw too many Gomer Pyle reruns. You're too smart for the Marines.
He said you're too smart for the Marines, Eddie.
That's the men's department of the Navy.
Anyway, Art, listen, in all seriousness, we always have a good time with you, and we've always had I think you were the one who first added – oh, by the way, my wife is in the studio tonight, and she wants to say hello to you.
Hello, hey, Art.
Hi, Danny.
Well, everybody loves the chief.
Everybody wants to know. I knew these two when James was still passing notes to Danny – in the studio, and I couldn't keep his mind on the show.
Hey, it's been a long time. I tell you, 9 years, a lot has changed. I certainly wasn't married 9 years ago when it all started, and as you said, I was passing notes to Danny in the studio. But listen.
All your girlfriends in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
God knows wherever else.
Well, listen, we need to talk quickly because we only have a minute or two remaining with you. You stumbled me with that last one, but hey, favorite guest, favorite behind the scenes memory. I mean, there's so much. I remember you on one Halloween show. You came to the studio dressed in Star Wars regalia. I mean, there's been so much that people will never know about this show. I came into the studio for one Halloween show, and Art was decked out like Spock or somebody. But okay, Art, favorite guest behind the scenes. Recorder, you tell us.
What, besides the snakes I threw in the studio with you? Let's see. General Hal Moore's interview, of course.
Yes.
With Jess and Bill. And Jess's live remote, we did a live remote broadcast from the Shiloh Battleground.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. Who could forget 2007?
I can never forget The Exorcist. That is also one of my books.
Winston was talking about that earlier tonight. I know you always hearken back to the LT, as you refer to him, Gottfried Dulias,
yep,
of the Luftwaffe.
And probably the best one that was technically challenging, Eddie will remember this, Colonel Bo Greitz.
Yeah, that Bo Greitz one, I think y'all were doing that via ham radio,
yep,
and y'all were sending Morse code to one another to get that interview. To
Eddie was having flashbacks to Vietnam. Every time he talked with him, he had to say over.
I remember that show. It's all in the archives. Well,
hey,
Art, listen.
Running. Talk to you later.
Hey, listen, it doesn't happen often enough, but the legacy that you've played and the fingerprints you've left from this show will last forever more, and we thank for the role you continue to play from afar in retirement, and God bless you, brother.
You too. Take care, Danny.
Art wanted to be on tonight live. But he asked that I play that, and it really still, that was from the show year before last on the 9th year anniversary. This is now the 11th, but it still really holds true. And Art still plays a role in this show. I still talk to Art just about every month, if not every other week. We exchange emails or something. And, you know, the first few months we were on the air before Art was hired as the engineer and producer at WLRM in Memphis, it was a lot of monkey shines. And then when Art got hired, even though we were paying for the airtime, he said, listen, if you're going to do radio, you're going to do radio right. And he taught us a lot. He had a dry sense of humor, but he was a huge asset to the show, and we still love Art to this day. But those early years when we were under Art's tutelage,
yes, we were.
Still bearing dividends.
You know, he did, and he still does, have the dry sense of humor you've ever seen. As long as I've known him sometimes, I can't tell if he's joking. But, you know, he was the master. By the way, you know, Winston
gave him the name, the Lord of the Board.
That's
the Lord
right.
of the Board.
Winston gave everybody the nickname. Winston named me the Bombardier. But you're so right. I can see it just like yesterday. He sat on the other side of the glass. We weren't allowed to go over there because that's where all the high-tech equipment was. And Art wouldn't let us in there. He ran the whole show. He taught us so much.
At the studio. Yeah, he was on the other side of the glass. He had the board. He brought on the callers, brought on the guests. We were just there to talk. And he could cut off our mics if he wanted
to. That's right,
to.
And he did.
And sometimes he did.
And the radio station was held together literally almost with baling wire, scotch tape. And how Art kept it going, I'll never know.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Hal Moore interview. Another one that should have been in the top 25. Our interview with Hal Moore. Mel Gibson played Hal Moore in the movie We Were Soldiers. We got to take a break. We'll be back with Sam Bushman. The hits just keep on coming.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us. U.S.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, we've got, you're going to hear from two more people tonight. And the one coming up now is quite arguably the most important person in the entire political cesspool family. Without this guy, you know, we could say this about a lot of people. But without this guy, there's really no political cesspool. And it's not me. Eddie, who is it?
It is the one and only Sam Bushman. As a matter of fact, Sam probably doesn't know this. I listen to the Liberty Roundtable all the time. I've thought about calling in a few times. But Sam is the pro's pro. You know, he knows more about radio. He's forgot more about radio. Maybe it sounds like a cliche, but it's true. He's forgot more about radio than me and James will ever know. He's brilliant. I don't use the word genius very often around people, but Sam really is a true genius. You have to be around him to see what he can do technically, stuff that you think only an engineer could do. Evidently, he is a self-taught engineer, but his mind, and I can't say anything that he doesn't already know about. I can mention something on the radio, and within 15 seconds, Sam brings back evidence proving that I'm either right or wrong, and he's a great guy. Listen, and Sam is one of the few people I know of that's probably more generous than James. James is the most forgiving, generous human I've ever seen. Sam, even more so than that. I've been angry at people before. I'm not going to mention who it was, wanting to get rid of them, wanting to attack people, wanting to go off the deep end. You people may be well acquainted with my temper. But Sam, even more so than James, more Christian, more forgiving, more. He has more wisdom. I'm older than them, but I've learned so much. I feel like I'm so much wiser for listening to Sam's counsel. You know, looking back now, when I want to do certain things that were, it looks like, you know, rash now, the actions I want to take, Sam was the wiser of the group. I just can't say enough, and he is so generous. And he never worries about anything. He's so sound and secure in his religion, his Christianity. I just love him to death. He's a very, there's nobody more loving and warm than Sam Bushman.
And we've been with him on this network.
He's put up with more crap from us than anybody ever would.
I got to just add right here, though. I got to stop these guys. Now, listen, I'm telling you right now, Kirk Crosby has as many children as James does in radio.
Well, hang on. I'm trying to think about what
Kurt has 11 children.
Oh, so with 11 years in radio, indeed. Yeah. Well, I got to ask you this. A lot of those years have been spent now on your network, Sam, the network, which such a great infrastructure. I was a guest on your show earlier this week, and I shared with the audience, you know, when I was traveling to and from Washington.
Seven of those 11 years on Liberty News Radio.
Seven out of those 11 years. And I listened to the Liberty News Radio 24/7 content. I was driving to and from Washington a couple of weeks ago and listened to it. Just such great content around the clock. But seven out of those 11 years we have been with you. And that all had to start with the phone call. Sam, when you made the decision, I think the audience wants to know, when you made the decision to reach out to us and bring us aboard Liberty News Radio Network, under what illicit substances were you on at that particular moment?
First off, I'm a clean living Mormon. I don't even drink alcohol, ladies and gentlemen.
You got that right.
So I'm as straight shooter as they get. Now once in a while I'll bust out some Mountain Dew and stuff like that. But other than that, hey, I don't even drink coffee or tea or any kind of drugs of any kind. I'm as sober as they get. And I'll tell you, I was on Republic Broadcasting, and there was a lot of shows on there as well, and I'm back on Republic Broadcasting now. I'm friends with John Stattmiller and the rest. However, when I started my own network, I looked at all the different shows, and I looked at them, and I said, you know, what shows are sound and solid? And I didn't really want to take any shows from Republic. That was not my goal in any way, but I will just say it flat out on the air. There were friends. And we just stuck with friends, and I'm just going to leave it at that and say, you know what, we took an opportunity to let our friends make a decision of where they wanted to be. Friends and family stuck with one another, and it's been that way ever since, and that's kind of how it started, and that's how it will continue, is that, you know what, we work with our friends, and believe it or not, there was only one show that came with me, and that was The Political Cesspool, and it had to do with friendships.
Well, and I'll tell you, so much of what we've accomplished, we're talking about the top 25, 80-90% of the stuff on that list has been accomplished.
And speaking of being an engineer and the technical guy, I was able to engineer that thing live last year in Memphis. And what a blessing that was, James. That was cool to be part of and to watch. On one hand, I was part of it when I got to shake people's hands and become friends with people and everything else. On the other hand, I was able to be the engineer and kind of be the fly on the wall and watch the proceedings as kind of the radio guy in the background. And it was fun to be part of. It was fun to participate in.
It was amazing what you were able to do with that 10-year show, because even the hotel staff didn't have the know-how to put together what you did. And that is, you made it to where the hotel's speaker system was broadcasting the show so the audience could hear it in the ballroom. You did things that weren't really able to be done. You found a way to do them. Eddie?
I was going to say the same thing. James kind of stole my son there, but you did things, Sam, I still hadn't been able to figure out what you did. Not that I'm an engineer, but I was just in awe of what you did. And, Sam, I listen to your shows, and this might be kind of a rabbit trail, but I'm going to mention this. Sam does things that the political cesspool doesn't do and no other broadcast media does. Sam actually goes out in the community and organizes things like the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Organization. He's always into something like that, the dollar a day thing.
Yeah, Sam, buddy, guess who's coming to Orem, Utah, right a couple of weeks? It's going to be Larry Nichols. You're going to dig that. You ought to fly in, Eddie.
I would love
the Bombardier ought to just get on an airplane. I know that would be crazy to watch him go
get
through the TSA.
B-57.
Did you know that I went to the TSA live one time? I was on the radio live, and I went through the TSA. Did you know that?
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
I swear I did, buddy.
Well, Sam, one of my favorite – what you came up with this idea the other day on the radio when you were critiquing Donald Trump's run for the presidency. You said they should ditch the mainstream media. They should totally turn their back on them.
What if all 15 candidates that claim they're real conservatives just told the mainstream press, we're not even going to talk to you people anymore?
Don't spend money. Don't spend money with them.
We're just simply going to ignore you. We're going to do a blackout of the media. It'll be phenomenal to watch. And the new mainstream or the old mainstream press would fall by the wayside. The new mainstream press would be here. It'd be an interesting dynamic, to say the least. But they don't have any guts, and they're not for real, and that's the proof in the pudding. By the way, speaking of Art Frith and Wolfman Jack, you know what? I grew up. I cut my teeth in radio listening to Wolfman Jack. He was in Mexico, believe it or not, on a 100,000-watt radio station at night, howling at the moon, and broadcasting live all over the western United States. That's how I cut my teeth in radio, guys, back
at
in the early
watts,
70s.
You can hear him on the moon at 100,000 watts.
Oh, Sam, yeah. I think we had Wolfman calling in. I think Wolfman might
Wolfman's
be
on the phone right now.
Wolfman's on the phone right now.
They're just making fun of me because I do voices, but I'm telling you right now, I'm working on my Bombardier voice is what I'm doing.
Bring him on. Hey, bring the Wolfman on a minute.
I'm going to work on the Bombardier voice is what I'm doing now.
Get the Wolfman in.
Could you imagine if I did the Bombardier voice? Now, I want
to,
before the end of this segment, because I know you guys are going to boot me off and go to better, greener pastures and stuff. But here's the deal. There's a couple of things that I want to kind of mention from the political cesspool from my perspective. And most of the time I'm not on the air. I engineer the show, and I'm the owner of the network. And, you know, it's kind of crazy that I actually engineer the show because I own the network. But I do it because I like the programming and I'm friends with the hosts. And I do it because I want to be part of the show. I want to listen to it. I believe the commentary and the input that they have is incredibly insightful and valuable. I think they've got an incredible point to make about America and about who we are and about reclaiming our belief systems and sticking with what we believe in and who we are, really making our heritage front and center, understanding our history from a correct point of view, not a perverted, manipulated point of view. I mean, it goes on and on. And so I do the show not because I have to, but because I choose to. And so that's kind of my endorsement of the political cesspool at James Edwards, the Bombardier, Keith, and the crew. But I want to say this, though. You mentioned one thing that I don't think most of the different people who have joined to celebrate the 11th anniversary have focused on. One thing you said, James, is what do you see for the future of the cesspool?
Yes,
and I want to kind of speak to that really quick. And that is this. I think that you ought to have, instead of 10-year anniversaries, I think you ought to have it every year, a political cesspool summit, so to speak. And instead of going to Memphis every time, what you would do is every year go to a different historical city of the South and celebrate the rich history relating to that location. And you could go to Kentucky. You could go to Mississippi. You could go to, Georgia. You could go to Carolina. You could go to Virginia. You know, you could go to all these different places and really break down the history of what those cities represent, what they stood for, what their history was. It would just be a tremendous broadcast, a tremendous live event annually where cesspool fans and friends and family could get together and really celebrate and really dig in. You know, you guys have your, month to celebrate Southern History or Southern History Month, et cetera. Just imagine if you could literally live broadcast from the cities and talk about the different elements of what occurred there and how and what and who and when. That's my hope for the future. James?
Wherever we go, Sam, we go with you, brother. We don't exist without you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, on behalf of our entire audience for standing in our corner.
I'm grateful to be part of the cesspool, and I'm just telling you, I'm working on my Eddie the Bombardier impersonation.
We love you, Sam.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're winding down tonight's celebration of 11 years on the radio. Year 11 will start next week. And we're going to have a great show in store for you on Halloween night, no less. Saturday, October 31st, our next show. You've heard from a lot of people tonight who have made the political cesspool what it is over these last 11 years. Some of them, though, you didn't hear from. People like my original co-host, Austin Farley, Jess Bonds, who was with us for the first 3 or 4 years, great guy, and Jeff Melton. Those people have played a role in the show, and they've come and gone, as sometimes happens in life. But one of the most important figures certainly is that of Bill Rowland. And I went into the archives, ladies and gentlemen, and I pulled for you the very last commentary that Bill Rowland ever gave on this show. And it just so happened to be on the anniversary show back in 2012. That was October of 12. Right after that, his health took a sharp decline, and we didn't know it at the time, but that was the last time he would ever appear. I'd like to play that clip for you now.
Bill Rowland's contributions to this show, not just as co-host, which you've come to know him, but in the early years, cannot be overstated. You've heard from Art Frith already tonight, Sonny Landham, Sam Bushman, now Bill Rowland, who is a regular co-host. But before he was a co-host, his impact on this show was profound. In fact, I believe I met Bill, perhaps for the first time, at that kickoff party at the Pig and Whistle Barbecue Restaurant back in December of 04. And he started out as a regular guest on the show, just as in his capacity as a board member for the council. But Bill has certainly, since then, obviously become a regular co-host, and always fills in for me when I have to be out as the lead host. But two things Bill has done that, again, to use the word, cannot be overstated. Bill, when we first got our big shot of publicity in the spring of 2006, the Southern Poverty Law Center had put us on the hate watch list, and it was the front page story in Memphis above the fold of the commercial appeal. A local radio show makes hate watch list. The local news and television affiliates were calling my cell phone wanting an interview, and I went to you for counsel, and I always do. Anytime a big story comes up, anytime I need guidance, Bill Rowland's the man I call. I'm not blowing smoke at him. This is the truth. Obviously, as you see so many times, the knee-jerk reaction is to call the press back and say, oh, no, 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 no. We're not racist here. Believe me, I got all these black friends. Just trust me, I got a lot of black friends. And at the time, you know, you don't know what it's like until you're put through it. And I remember it being a white knuckle experience. And I said, Bill, you know, I just need to call these people and just tell them what they want to hear to get off my back. And Bill, you said, if you do that, the show's over. And here's what you need to say. And what you told me to say is what I said. And it was the right thing to do. And I mocked it, and I took it in stride. And that was a fork in the road for the show. And if we'd have taken the wrong route, this show would have been done about a year and a half, 2 years into its run. Now here we are 8 years later. Do you remember that?
I do. I do. And that was counsel that had come to me from different people who had long suffered the same sort of abuse and smears and outright lies that had come from the left. And what you learn from that is that these people on the left, these liberals, they're just loudmouth cowards. And once you expose the fact that they're really toothless, then they'll back away from you. It's like a toothless dog who has a loud bark and fierce eyes, but you get close enough to him and you stare him down, he's going to back away. And that's what we've tried to, I think, express on this show, is that there is no future for cowards and compromisers, that they all become part of the same group. They all get lumped in. And we have said over and over to people who have, who supposedly conservatives, who have also denounced us, have said, oh, you think it's us now? It's your turn next. And we've been proven right in every case. If you think you can escape the aggressive hatred of the left, you're deluding yourself. They simply move it up a notch every time until they find a new enemy. You know, it started with us, and now as far as the Southern Poverty Law Center goes, it's the Family Research Council, you know, these Christian people who did everything to keep a spotless reputation, and yet they fall under the witchcraft and the hexes of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Well,
what's more is now our credibility stands, but the Southern Poverty and Law Center is in a slide, a gradual slide into disrepute. And I think we're going to see the day when they start getting sued and they start getting hammered, and then we'll be sort of standing on top of the hill watching them getting kicked around. And let's see how they react, okay? So, by the way, after that buildup, I feel like I'm going to be wearing a tiara. But
no, Bill, it's the truth. Folks, you'll never know. You know, all the credit this show gets, and perhaps I get as you know, one of the creators of this show and its founding host, a lot of it should really be redirected to Bill, and it's not just for that. I mean, Bill gave me sound advice. I was going to take the typical knee-jerk apologetic route. I will be honest with you. I was, you know, it was my first time at this. I was 25 years old. I didn't know better. And I wasn't just repeating what Bill told me to say. Bill had enough sound mind to give me good advice. And once I heard what he was saying, I realized how good of advice it was. And I took it because it was good advice, not just because it was Bill Rowland saying it, but because it was good advice. And that was a moment of truth. We were tempered in fire. And one of the things I still remember from that story on the television affiliates and in the newspaper was that they quoted me directly saying I was elated, ecstatic, I believe was the word, to be named to the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch list. You haven't arrived in the conservative movement until you've been named there. And that's, you know, 6 years after that, here we are, still one of their favorite whipping boys, but we have certainly made a name for ourselves. You know, you look back now on our portfolio of work from 2004 to 2012, it's jaw-dropping, it's staggering. But another thing, they were coming after the Confederate parks. And I said, Bill, you know, the SCV, the Sons of Confederate Veterans isn't going to do anything about this. Do you think we can do something about this? And you'll remember in 2005, this was actually even in advance of the SPLC story and all the news coverage that we just mentioned. This was 2005. We really weren't tested as a radio program at that time. We'd been on the air about a year. We had a successful kickoff. We knew we had a lot of listeners, but we didn't know really if we had the muscle to move the needle on an issue. And the Vandals and Visigoths of multiculturalism came in. They wanted to eradicate the three Confederate parks in Memphis, including Nathan Bedford Forrest Park, which, of course, is where the general is buried. And no one would stood against it. We stood against it. We got, because of the political cesspool, the pro-Confederate side got equal coverage in the news. And Bill guided that whole thing. He said, you don't do a demonstration. You do a vigil. Bill, you shepherded the entire counter-resistance and countermeasures to our side of the issue, and the political cesspool really became very famous here in town as a result of the stands we took in defense of the Confederate parks. And because of us and because of your leadership on that issue, the Confederate parks remain here, and I know you'll remember that as well.
I do, and actually it was one of the most exciting times of my life because I did have experience with that kind of thing. I developed experience through the Council of Conservative Citizens and through the Sons of Confederate Veterans to some degree. And so I did have some experience with that. But I think the jewel in the crown for me, if I do get a crown in heaven, it's the fact that the planned demonstration by Al Sharpton turned out to be a complete fiasco. We rained on his parade, literally. And that was the first time in his career that he ever canceled a march or actually completely failed in his mission to do something. And I have to say that it was so embarrassing that even the black leadership in Memphis turned on him, and he hasn't been back here since. So, you know, it shows that with effort, with faith, and with just a little courage, you can accomplish great things. Because, folks, listen, we don't have any clout here. We were individuals who stood up and said, this shall not pass. And we were determined to make an effort. And, of course, here we were, our little group in Confederate Park, surrounded by SWAT teams and sheriff's deputies.
I remember that. Yeah, they sent out the SWAT team. Right.
Guns, you know, and we're like, all of this for us? You know, I mean, it was really kind of astonishing. You know, we thought we'd be standing out there with some Confederate flags and whatnot. But the point is that no effort is wasted when you're fighting for the right thing. No effort is wasted. And that's what we've tried to do. Is keep our effort going, keep our wheels rolling, because we're rolling in the right direction.
Well, Bill, thanks so much to you, man. It can't be understated, the role you played in this. Now it continues as a regular co-host, but God bless you, buddy, and thanks so much.
We didn't know it at the time. That was the last time Bill Rowland would ever speak on this radio program, just a couple of months after that. And what a great segment that he delivered, what, as he always did in his capacity as a co-host of this show. A couple of months later, he was called home by the Lord. That was the last time Bill was ever on the show. That was from October 2012. But thanks to the broadcast archives and thanks to the infrastructure that Sam Bushman has built here, Bill's legacy carries on. You can catch his wisdom and learn from his wisdom in the broadcast archives any day you want. Eddie, final word to you. It's been a great anniversary show. Thank you for being here with me the entire time.
You're very welcome. My wild horses couldn't have kept me away. James, if I had to say if there was one defining moment, one battle, one victory won that defined, that kept the cesspool on the air and kept and made it what it is today, I would say it was when you and Bill, the political cesspool, went down there and faced Al Sharpton. I would say if I had to say of all the things that happened, that was the defining moment.
It's been a wild ride. Wonderfully turbulent, 11 years. What's the next year going to hold in store for us? We'll find out together. God bless you, everybody. On behalf of my entire staff and crew, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week.
Cesspool.org.